All right, welcome to Free For All Friday. This is your host, Patrick Kelly, broadcasting on WNZF News Radio, 1550 AM, 106.3 FM, and streaming worldwide at WNZF.com. Got a great show in store for you. We're going to be joined here in a few minutes by Toby Tobin, the publisher of GoToby.com, to talk a little bit about some of the shenanigans that he believes went on during the real estate craze of the not-too-distant past. Before we get, before we get into that, though, I do want to thank my sponsors, Shemento and Gunthorp Attorneys at Law, Hayward Brown Flagler Insurance, and Rhodes Marine Service. If you do want to participate in today's show, the phone number is 206-9693. And if you care to follow along with my random, maybe sometimes even cohesive thoughts, you can follow me on Twitter. That's PKWNZF at twitter.com. Before we get into talking with Tony, though, I want to talk about some of the interesting news items that have occurred here during the past week. First one that's just kind of popped up in the last few days is this ad that apparently nobody's seen, but boy, everybody's talking about it. But Focus on the Family during the Super Bowl has ponied up the $2 million or whatever the going rate is to run an advertisement featuring Tim Tebow, many Floridians' favorite young quarterback. And apparently what the ad is about is it's going to talk about the little history of the family and his mother, who I think was overseas at the time, had some health concerns and was advised to terminate her pregnancy because of the risks that it posed to her threat. Well, obviously she made the choice, interesting word, choice, to carry that pregnancy to term. And the result was an All-American quarterback, Heisman winner, leading his team to a national championship, guy that almost seems too good to be true. And it's interesting because this has the reproductive rights, crowd in an uproar. They're just beside themselves about this commercial. I'm sure many of you have seen the talking heads and seen some of them come on these shows and just talk about how terrible it is that CBS is allowing this ad to be run. It's just interesting. The thoughts that pop into my head is, you know, they say they're pro-choice. Why would they have an issue with the choice that she made? And if they have a problem with it, well, they can, you know, why don't they pony up the $2 million and run their own ad? We won't get into a lot of detail, but just think about that for a minute. Just imagine, what would they say? How would that ad go? Moving on to the next item. I don't know how many people are following this, but there's been a push by Democrats in Congress and our president to make annuities more prevalent as an option in retirement accounts such as 401ks, self-directed IRAs, and stop and think about that for a second. Annuities are a tax-preferred investment. So in many cases, they're treated kind of like an IRA to begin with. So if you take a tax-preferred investment, and I know I'm really exciting a lot of people here, but you put that inside a tax-preferred account, it's just silly. It makes no sense. And then they call it guaranteed income. Who guarantees the income? Big insurance companies. You know, companies like, I don't know, AIG. Just interesting. I mean, these companies that were blamed for everything, we now want to have them guaranteeing our income. I mean, it's only guaranteed if the company can afford to pay it. So a little more food for thought there. And one last item. You know, you hear it all the time. We heard it a few times during the State of the Union address the other night. The phrase, we inherited this mess. I think cameras even caught John McCain turning to the person next to him, and you could read his lips. Oh, yeah, blame Bush, he said. But, you know, you think about this. Wasn't he in the Senate the prior 4 years before becoming president? You know, wasn't he part of the establishment that created this so-called mess? So I did a little research. And the 4 years he was in the Senate, and you can get this right on the Senate website. Voting records are there. He voted against the 06 and 07 budgets. He voted for the 08 and 09 budgets. Now, the deficits in 06 and 07 were $248 billion and $61 billion, respectively. The deficits in the budgets he voted for were $459 billion and $1.4 trillion, respectively. And in both of those years, exactly two Republican senators voted for the budget, and those are the rhinos, the Collins and Snow from Maine. So interesting, you know, it's the Republicans' fault. We inherited this mess, but none of the Republicans voted for those budgets. Interesting stuff. But, you know, what it tells me, and I think the only conclusion you can really draw, is that he is counting, and not just he, but many in Congress. And, you know, you look at TARP, that was a bipartisan mess. Both sides voted for that. So I'm not saying that the Democrats are the only one with culpability here. But what they're counting on is the complacency and the ignorance of the American electorate. You know, I think it was P.T. Barnum who said something along the lines of, nobody ever went broke underestimating the intelligence of the American people. So stop and think about that. Pay attention. You know, if more people were interested about what was happening up in D.C. than they were about who the next winner of American Idol was, then, you know, maybe we'd have few of these people being sent back to Washington time and time again. All right, well, that's enough for my rantings. Joining me here in studio this morning is Toby Tobin, publisher of GoToby.com. Good morning, Toby.
Good morning, Patrick.
How's everything going?
Everything's great.
For those of you that do not know you, is there any other background information you would care to share with them out there listening?
No, I just want to encourage people to go to my website, GoToby.com, which is focusing on real estate news, not just Flagler County, but around the country and sometimes around the world.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much started really as a local thing, but you've expanded it, and I, you know, follow along and I get your emails, and it seems like you're pretty darn busy. I mean, a lot of times I get several in a day.
Yes, it is. It's taken on a life of its own. It started out to be just a website for Flagler County real estate news, but it grew because I started talking about, primarily it started when I started talking about Bobby Ginn. And you can't talk about Bobby Ginn without talking about Orlando and the Bahamas and Vail, Colorado, and all these other places where he's had developments.
Right, right. Yeah, and that was, you know, obviously that was a very big and recognizable name here in our community with the projects that they did here. Well, you know, you the purpose of you coming here today is to talk about some of the digging you've done and some of the evidence that you've found relative to real estate and mortgage fraud, not necessarily just in our community, but around Central Florida and I guess elsewhere as well. So why don't you share some of your findings with us?
Well, you're right, Patrick. It's not just local. It's everywhere. I think that in the end, we're going to look back at the real estate bubble and we'll realize that mortgage fraud and real estate fraud were the largest contributor to that bubble. And it really, it centers in on raising the value, artificially raising the value of property in one way or another. And then if you inflate the value of one property fraudulently, you have inadvertently or maybe not also inflated the value of all of the surrounding property.
Now, you really believe that it was more of a contributor than just the hysteria that went on just because, you know, people saw their neighbor make money, so they wanted to jump in. And, you know, I was here and active in the business community. And, you know, what I saw was just, you know, people not, I guess, basically throwing common sense out the window and not thinking about it. And you feel that the fraudulent aspect of it was a greater contributor than that?
Well, the desire to make money quickly and easily has been with us forever. It's not just focused on real estate. You can go back to the tulip bulb bubble of more than a century ago. There's greed exists in all of us, but an avarice exists only in some. And it's a question of how open the system is. If the system will allow you to get away with something easily, more people will choose to cross the line and get away with it. And if the controls are tighter or more open, so you can see it's more transparent, then more people are just going to choose to be honest because the risk of getting caught is greater. I mean, most people choose not to commit crimes because they're afraid of the down the road repercussions of getting caught. I mean, of course, it's a moral issue for a lot of people as well.
Some of us, not some of us. For some people, it is the fear of getting caught. And for most of us, it's hopefully our moral compass that says, no, you can't do that.
Right. It's the way we were brought up. for some people.
If I can back up a second,
sure.
You said something about greater controls. What types of controls do you think may have prevented or at least lessened some of what went on?
Well, first of all, I don't want to come across as an advocate of bigger government, because I'm not. And I think part of the problem is our government has gotten so large and it has so much inertia that it's hard to turn it around or even stop it. And that the government, and particularly the government in concert with some Wall Street investors, created a climate where I just call it a target-rich environment for people who are inclined to commit fraud. And one of the problems, real estate is a very, very complex subject, and most people don't understand it. Most people will spend $300,000 on a house knowing less about that process than they know about the HDTV they bought. They did a lot of research on that. And people are just, it's kind of a fuzzy area for a lot of people. So they can be led.
It's an emotional area.
It's emotional. But when they are uncertain, if they can latch on to someone who can make them feel comfortable, someone that can project a sense of honesty, they're going to be inclined to believe that person, because the buyer or seller don't know that much about buying and selling real estate. So they look to the real estate professionals for guidance. And I'm not talking just about real estate agents and brokers. I'm talking about appraisers, inspection companies, loan originators, banks themselves, title companies. Everybody has a seat at the table. And in this case, there were people in each of those seats that crossed over the line. And the way they were able to do that is because the process isn't controlled well. There's no real oversight. Real estate transactions cross way too many boundaries of jurisdiction.
Because you have obviously the financing aspect of it, and then that relies on things like appraisals. You have depending on the type of mortgage it is, whether it's a Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae type or conventional, you have all those guidelines that play into it. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. It's not just as simple as here's my offer.
Right.
Do you accept it? Let's go close.
Well, in the transaction, so many different agencies and bureaucracies are supposedly have oversight for a piece of the transaction, but nobody has oversight of the whole industry, of the whole transaction. And what invariably happens when the responsibility is split among multiple parties, one party that will step up to the table and say, well, nobody else is watching this, so I guess I will. They tend to think that, well, if the transaction got this far, it's probably okay, so I'll just slide it through my jurisdiction and pass it on to the next person.
Yeah, and I said something before about it being an emotional process, especially when it comes to people buying a primary residence. And I can, from my own experience, I can tell you that I had occasions where went to contract. I myself kind of had questions about, well, are they paying too much? So, we go ahead, we order the appraisal, get the appraisal back, doesn't appraise out. And you would think that a prudent buyer would step back and say, okay, let me talk to the seller about this. Let's figure out, where the issues are. Maybe I can use this information to, get a lower price. Maybe we can renegotiate. But in my experience, what I've seen is the people feel offended by that lower value. And rather than, use that as a negotiating tool in their own behalf, they want to get a new appraisal that agrees with the price that they've already contracted to purchase the property for. And I think that's because of an emotional, they've already decided they want it. And, at that point that they just want to make sure it happens. And that opens a can of worms, because then you have, people that want to help them accomplish that goal, and maybe that's part of what, just another little aspect of what leads to this. But we got to take a quick break right now. And I'm going to throw out a trivia question for y'all, and it just popped into my head a few minutes ago. Who uttered the famous quote, "Greed is good"? So if you have the answer, call us at 206-9693, and we'll be right back.
has been changed. To find out the new name of your bank, press 1. To find out the changes we have made to your bank account, press 2. To get a list of employees no longer with your bank, press 5.
Remember when banks really cared about you and your business?
You could walk in and talk to someone you knew and could actually do something for you. Well, hometown banking is alive and well at Intercoastal Bank. When you're ready to make the easy switch to real hometown banking, stop in and see us. I'm Bruce Page, president. Intercoastal Bank, member of the FDIC.
Macular degeneration, along with many other low vision eye conditions, affects several thousand residents in the counties of this listening area. If you or a loved one cannot read your printed material for your everyday needs, or cannot view TV, records, or even do simple writing tasks such as crossword puzzles, Magnifying Solutions now has new magnifying products that can give you back your independence.
Hi, I'm Tom O'Rourke, your local magnification specialist. Call me today, toll-free, at 866-343-3395 or visit us at magnifyingsolutions.com. Call me today and receive your free low-vision kit along with a free pocket magnifier. Our product line of electronic video magnifiers and large materials from 2 times to 72 times, allowing you to read and see almost everything again. Call me at 866-343-3395 or magnifyingsolutions.com.
Hi, I'm Michael Schimento, owner of Schimento & Gunthart, Flagler County's oldest and largest law firm. For the past 5 decades, the attorneys of our firm have represented thousands of individuals, businesses, and families in Flagler, Volusia, and St. Johns County. Our full-service law firm has a staff of 12 with 5 attorneys, all committed to providing you with highest quality legal services, but with a local personal touch. Should you ever have a question about business, real estate, estate planning, or even a personal injury matter, please call me at 445-8900 or visit us at our website at palmcoastlaw.com. Thank you.
America's economy grew faster than expected during the last quarter of 2009, a growth rate of almost 6%. President Obama going to Baltimore this morning to push his plan to give tax credits to businesses that hire new workers. New audio tape from Osama bin Laden, in which he blames the U.S. and other industrialized nations for global warming, calls for a boycott of American-made goods. There is mounting opposition to trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other suspected terrorists in civilian court in New York City.
White House officials have told ABC News that the White House has asked the Justice Department to make contingency plans for a criminal trial venue for the accused 9/11 defendants outside of Manhattan. A new venue could be chosen if members of Congress and New York City officials try to prevent the trials from taking place in Manhattan.
ABC's Tim Fleischer. Dangerous driving conditions right now in Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, and several other states due to ice and snow. Doug Limerick, ABC News.
Hey, want to know about Flagler County's best-kept secret?
It's Linda's Landing on Dead Lake in western Flagler County. Linda's Landing has the best home cooking. Nothing on our menu is over $10. Linda's Landing is 10 minutes from Bunnell. Open Wednesday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Call ahead for directions or takeout, 206-9377. Take a drive by bike or car through the countryside to Linda's Landing Restaurant on Dead Lake, 206-9377. 206-9377.
Welcome back to Free For All Friday. This is your host, Patrick Kelly, joined in studio by Toby Tobin, broadcasting at on 1550 AM, 106.3 FM, and on the web at WNZF.com. If you want to participate, you have a question for Toby or a comment that you'd like to share, the number is 206-9693. All right, back to our discussion, Toby. You know, we were talking about, you know, some of the complexities of the purchasing a piece of real estate and how many folks are involved in the different processes. Do you feel like that because of that, because of the number of people involved, that made it easier for some of this stuff to go on? Is that, I'm not sure what point you were trying to make there. I know we had to take a break.
Well, I'm not sure whether it made it easier just on its face. If everybody was honest, it wouldn't have been an issue. But by splitting it up, it made it easier to if you got a team, but it requires a team. If you're going to have a perpetrator real estate fraud, it really, you've got to involve people along the road.
Toby's got to turn his ringer off.
Okay, cell phone, go to sleep. But you have to involve appraisers and bankers. It's hard to, at least, well, there are two different kinds of fraud legally. There's fraud for dwelling. That's where you basically you lie on an application or you cheat. But it's about one house only, one property only typically. And then there's fraud for profit. And that's where you're perpetrating a fraud just to make get some illegal money and lots of it because there's a lot of money involved in real estate transactions. So if you okay, cell phone.
Just turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just discussing the numbers of parties involved, my personal opinion and coming from the lending world, I would think that would make it much more difficult to perpetrate fraud as far as having, that many people having, not just the loan originator, but a loan processor, an underwriter, an appraiser, all in on it together. In my mind, that makes it much more challenging. But, do you necessarily have to have everybody wittingly on board together to make it happen?
Well, you don't have to have everybody involved, but with everybody, if you're able to assemble a team, think of the awesome power that team has, because they can create an environment of total comfort for the buyer and the seller, because the buyer or the seller that are involved are being taken advantage of in this case, are relying on people to be trustworthy and honest and forthright. And if you look at across the section of people that make up the team that handles a real estate transaction, right from the sales agent, broker, they're all either licensed or they're in a regulated environment. And when you're surrounded by people who you've been taught to trust and have faith, and they're all saying the same thing. Nobody's contradicting. There are no red flags. What they are able to do when you have a full team of participants in the fraud, you can create a red flag-free environment. So you have total comfort, and it just makes it a lot easier. And, of course, you have to trust a team. You always have maybe weak links, someone that might squeal. But from what I've seen, the information that I've found creates a pattern. It's always around one person or a group of people.
Okay.
And for instance, you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we might talk about short sales and maybe short sale fraud. And there's a fairly new fraud. No matter whether the market's going up or down, you can have fraud. In a down market, there's a short sale fraud that's become quite common where someone, a real estate professional, for instance, finds a property that's listed as a short sale, and they set up a contract, a buyer that, say, for $150,000, a buyer. And this may be a straw buyer. It may be a phony buyer, fictitious, but it's some name, some social security number, some credit rating. And then they go out and peddle a contract for $120,000. They find another buyer that'll pay $120,000. They take that contract to the bank, and they don't mention the $150,000 contract.
Now, this is something new. I've heard some other things going on. What I've heard was more in the lines of when negotiating with, say, a second mortgage holder, that there was some kind of consideration given to get them to release their claim that was not disclosed to the first mortgage holder, didn't show up on the HUD. Now, this is something different that I haven't heard of.
Well, I decided early this week, I think I'll look at this. So this gets to the issue of how difficult it is to uncover a fraud, and then even more difficult to successfully prosecute it. When you look, you have to look for patterns. So I'm a realtor, so I went to the MLS system, and I looked at Flagler County short sales for a 2-month period last year. And what I was looking for was a pattern where a short sale occurred, and then within days, that property sold again for a significantly greater amount of money. In other words, by days, I mean not time too short for you to go on in and repaint it and put in new landscaping and
so basically flipping, just flipping in the down market.
Yeah, well, it's flipping in the down market, but it's done. Now there's nothing wrong with flipping, but if you don't tell the bank about it, then that's fraud.
Right.
And so I looked through 2 months history and I found 3 transactions where they resold quickly for a higher amount. And I
Now, are you alleging that in these cases the lower or the higher priced contract was in effect prior to the lower price contract?
No, I'm not alleging anything. I'm just suggesting that if this type of fraud was involved, that's a pattern that would point to it. Yeah. It's only a pointer. Now, having found three, I looked, and two of them looked fine. It looked like they transferred it to a trust or to it wasn't an arm's length transaction on that second transaction. Yeah. One of them looked like, well, I don't know, but you have to look. Now, from that, I had already spent 2 hours on this project, and I could see I wasn't, you know, my mining wasn't really too effective. I wasn't finding an awful lot. But what you would have to do to really trace that string down to the end is look at a much larger population, like look at the entire year, which would have taken a couple of days to go through those transactions. And then the patterns, and of course, I get the information from the MLS system on the sales transactions, but then I have to jump over to the property appraiser's system to look for the sales dates. And if I see that there's a pattern, then I would go back to the MLS system and see if the names match up, if it's the same real estate agent or the same brokerage, or maybe the same, then you go back to the property appraiser's office or the county clerk's office and see who are the participants. Is it the same title company? Is it the same? Are the mortgages with the same bank? And you've got to, in my case, I don't have subpoena power, so I can't go and say, well, I want to see your HUD statement. The government can do that, but I can't. So it's really complex. And that's why I think most frauds are going to go undetected and unprosecuted.
Yeah. If we could back up a minute, let's talk about, you know, the write up, you know, and some of the things. Could you give us some examples, in your digging, some of the things that you uncovered that actually happened where you have some, you know, pretty good documentation? And I know I've seen some of it, and some of it's pretty compelling evidence. So could you share, and I know you can't say names or anything, but could you share some of those specifics with us?
Sure, I'd be happy to. One of the ways to perpetrate a fraud is to, and this is a real example I've seen, and I'm convinced that it was fraud because it was repeated again and again and again, and same parties involved. But imagine that you have a house that you've got listed for $210,000. And I come to you, and your house has been on the market for a while, and nobody's paying $210,000 for it. But I say, I'll give you $210,000. But the condition of the contract is we're actually going to rate the offer at $300,000 because my buyer wants to get more money in the mortgage so he can afford to put that pool in the addition on the house because he really likes the house, but it needs a lot of work. And you're happy to get – and I'll give you the $210,000. You'll get your $210,000, but we just have to do the contract at $300,000. Then what happens is the list price on the house, once you get the contract at $300,000, the list price on the house, sometimes just within a day or two after the date of the contract, gets inflated to, say, $310,000. So then when the transaction closes, there's no red flag. Nobody says, well, gosh, it was listed for $210,000. Why did someone pay $300,000 for it? When the transaction closes, it was listed at $310,000, sold for $300,000.
So that becomes a comp then that helps determine the prices the next offer.
Bingo.
I'm going to ask you to pause a second. We're going to real quick take a break. I know we have somebody holding with our trivia answer. I'm going to ask you if you can just hang on through the break. We will be right back. This is Patrick Kelly, host of Free For All Friday.
Thanks for taking my call. This is Joe Corgan from Home Care Pharmacy calling to let you know about our semi-annual health and wellness vitamin sale. Now through the end of January, buy one, get one free from an entire stock of 21st century vitamins and supplements. Don't forget to check out our new dollar section for great products to use every day. We also offer free delivery in Palm Coast, and our prescriptions are competitively priced. So stop in today at any of our three locations, 6 Florida Park Drive, 9 Pinecone Drive, and in Bunnell at 706 East Moody Boulevard.
I'm so tired of our ugly, outdated kitchen.
And the chain stores are so expensive.
What should we do?
We need help.
It's time to call CabinetryMasters.com, the kitchen remodeling experts. They'll install an entirely new kitchen for less than the chain stores charge for refacing alone. Cabinetry Masters provides top-quality kitchens at unbeatable prices. Call now to schedule a free in-home consultation, day or night. Call CabinetryMasters.com at 386-478-7802. That's 386-478-7802.
Don't make the 1-800 mistake when it comes to your peace of mind and your automobile insurance. As your local auto owner's agent, we'll take the time to sit down with you face-to-face and discuss your insurance needs to make sure your coverage is right for you. So don't make the 1-800 mistake when it comes to your insurance. Give us a call. Your local auto owner's agent.
In Flagler County, call the Hayward Brown Flagler Insurance Agency at 437-7767. That's 437-7767.
Welcome back to Free for All Friday. This is your host, Patrick Kelly, and I believe we have Fred on the line. Fred, thanks for holding during the break.
Hey, good morning, Patrick. Fred Mills.
All right. So you have the answer to the trivia question, I understand.
Well, let's hope so. I'm sure it wasn't Bernie Madoff, so we'll count on him. But I believe it was Michael Douglas in Wall Street as Gordon Deco.
Okay, good. I was really looking for the character's name. That is correct. You have won yourself 20 free wings from McCharacters and a nice McCharacters logo beer glass to go with it.
That was great. And I think I heard last week when you gave that away that you volunteered to help empty the glass.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be there. I'll, you know, if you want to give me a call, I'd be happy to meet you there and help you with emptying said glass.
That sounds great. Well, hey, I'll let you get back to your guests and your program. Keep up the great work.
All right. Fred, do you know where we're located here?
I certainly do.
All right. If you want to stop by and see Mary at the front desk, she will have it for you.
Sounds great.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Back to Toby. When we left, you know, we were talking about specific instances when things occurred. You were talking about, basically pumping up the value so folks can get more money in their loan, and maybe the impact on value and subsequent sales was maybe an unintended consequence there, but a consequence nonetheless. What are some other things that you've found in the digging you've done?
Well, there's a case that involves a buyer that bought two lots in a development, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's say that each lot was $250,000. So they paid $500 for two lots. Then those deeds were recorded. One was recorded for a dollar, and that's often the case. The deed doesn't always, there's no obligation to put the real purchase price.
But the dock stamps that get paid that's what tells you the real.
That's right. The dock stamps. But the second house or lot was appraised the second house was sold at $500 and recorded thusly. Okay. Then in subsequent appraisals of adjoining property, that lot that was posted at $500 becomes a comp, and all of the lots in the neighborhood are now worth $500 based on that sale.
Okay.
And,
can I ask you, you looked at was there one deed? Was there two deeds?
There were two deeds.
Okay. So one deed had the dock stamps paid at the basically the full amount, and the other one paid at a dollar. So it wasn't like they, you know, put both lots on one deed and just somehow it got recorded as a dollar. I mean, was an attempted, the intent was to deceive anybody that might be digging through the public records.
Yes. And okay. The key issue here is that the same appraiser that appraised both of those lots at $250 is the one who used the $500 comp further down the road. So that appraiser should have known better. It's a pattern.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
And for that to happen, you would have to have the closing agent, and involved, because they're the ones typically that prepare the deed. And I guess you'd have to also see the HUD settlement statement and see how it was listed there as well. Were there two settlement statements? Was there one? In this case, was that any kind of information you were able to get hold of?
We've seen the HUD statements, but if there are multiple HUDs, if the lender got a different HUD than the buyer or the seller, right, there's no way of knowing. That's again the complexity. You can have one HUD statement that seems to follow the law really very well, but if that's the only one you're looking at. You don't see the fraud. You have to look at the manufactured HUD statements. And then further down, once a lot is purchased, and this is the same development, the sellers were, the developer was working in conjunction with preferred builders, and the preferred builder was selling new home construction, and a case where the home could be constructed, say, for $1.2 million. But they would throw in a furniture package, say, for $150,000, and a leaseback arrangement, which is common and legal, for 2 years, maybe totaling $180,000.
Right.
So you've got a $150,000 plus $180,000. You've got $330,000 over and above the value of that house.
Well, if I could, real quick, just for folks listening that might not be aware of what you're talking about, I think what Toby's saying is a lot of times builders will build, you know, either a spec or a model home. They actually sell it upon completion, but then they lease it back from the buyer to use as a model to then help them sell other homes. And that's what you're referring to, correct?
Right. Yeah. And that's a common practice, and it's totally legal. What's not legal is when you don't include that in the documentation to the lender.
Right.
So the lender is loaning maybe $1.5 million on a $1.2 million house, and that's fraud. And that was, it was rampant and pervasive. You can, there's one street in this development, you can go down the street, and every single one of them had a furniture package and a leaseback, and they were not used as models. They were not put into a rental or lease program. It was just a way of getting cash back to the buyer at closing.
Or to get the furniture financed.
And these homes are all ending up in foreclosure now too. So that's another red flag. When you see the same pattern, all of the cases ending up in foreclosure, the red flag.
Right.
So, and then of course, my website, you may have read, I had a story about Credit Suisse. This was the second largest bank in the world, had loaned the Ginn Company and about 12 other big developers multi-million dollar loans. In the Ginn case, it was $675 million.
That's a big number.
That is a big number. But there was a recent lawsuit filed where property owners are the plaintiffs and Credit Suisse and an appraising company are the defendants. And this is really a bizarre scheme. It's unbelievable. In the Ginn case and in all of the other three plaintiffs are Tamarack.
Other developers, yeah.
Tamarack, Yellowstone Club, where Bill Gates owns a house, and Lake Las Vegas, and most people know where that is. They're the four developments that are named in this suit. And what the claim is that Credit Suisse went in and they set up a Cayman Island branch, a dummy branch on the Caymans, only a post office box, that's it. No physical office, but it allowed
kind of a shell bank. Yeah.
A shell bank. The allegation is that allowed them to avoid U.S. regulations on how an appraisal is done. So they basically overappraised these developments by a tremendous amount, then came knocking on the doors of the developers, didn't seek Credit Suisse out. Credit Suisse came to the developers.
So they were really complicit, it sounds like, or at least it's being alleged that they were complicit in creating
overvaluation. Absolutely.
If I can interrupt you for just a second, we have a breaking news flash. It's very important, and apparently the right whales are frolicking about 100 feet off of the Flagler Beach Pier. So I know we have a lot of whale watchers in our area. So if you want to hop in your car, head over to the pier area. If you've ever seen right whales, it's kind of something neat to see. It's unique. You know, they move up and down the coast, and you don't have too many opportunities to see them. So I apologize for the interruption, but I know there are many people out there, my wife being one of them, that love to know when the right whales are out and there's a chance to see them. So I apologize. Please continue.
Okay, sure. But Credit Suisse they convinced the developers that their properties were worth a lot more than they really were. This is the allegation. And so much more, in fact, that they could pull out their profit distribution early. So in the Ginn case, $334 million of the $675 million went right to the developers. It never went to finance projects. The rest was to finance the projects. But the allegation is that Credit Suisse knew all along that this was ultimately going to sink the developments because they were over-leveraging them. And in every case, every loan essentially has gone bad. It's gone to either bankruptcy or foreclosure. And that Credit Suisse's scheme was to then come in and sweep up the spoils for a dime on the dollar. And it, the money that was loaned was not Credit Suisse's money. They sold the loans, but then they syndicated the loans to private investors. So it's the private investors who ended up losing money. Credit Suisse got huge fees for brokering the deal, and then they set themselves up as administrator of the loan and loan advisor, and which allowed them to collect even more fees. And then as things fell apart, they had to negotiate that.
And I thought the Swiss were supposed to stay neutral. What?
But it reads like a John Grisham novel. It really is. It's a fascinating story.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because I'm, you know, listening to all this and, you know, again, coming from the banking world, from my perspective, it seems like the biggest hits, the biggest victims were the banks themselves. You know, so maybe in this case, it sounds like the way they had it structured, Credit Suisse maybe didn't have a whole lot of skin in the game because they were, you know, playing with OPM, other people's money. But now they have this lawsuit, so, you know, maybe in the end, if it's the suit's successful, then I guess they will be paying, I guess, victimized, hoist by me own petard. Is that the word?
Yes.
The phrase?
Yes.
Petard is a hand grenade, in case anybody's not sure about that. It's an old German phrase. Or no, French, I'm sorry.
But the suit alleges that the victims also included the developers, which is an ironic twist because the developers pulled all this cash out.
Right.
But yet they were encouraged by Credit Suisse to do that. And the other plaintiffs are property owners because they're ultimately going to be deprived of the amenities that were promised. And there's a good faith obligation of the developer. And Credit Suisse is alleged to have organized this fraud in such a way that they never become the developer, because if they become the developer, they inherit the obligations for the amenities.
Right, so they're an equity partner.
So,
right.
So they actually have, they're maintaining control, but without taking the developer mantle. And they have another company come in as almost the equivalent of a straw buyer almost, to come in and take over after the foreclosure. But Credit Suisse knows that they have a slim chance of being able to succeed, and Credit Suisse may loan them a little bit of money, and then they force them to go bankrupt, and then they can sweep in, and by using this method, they erase those obligations that the developer had.
And they wind up with the property. And it seems just, you know, coming from the lending world, I mean, I did financing of developments, and that's completely backwards. I mean, you usually have a developer who has a concept, they have capital, they want to invest. They come to the lender to seek money, and it's not supposed to work the other way around.
I know. That's what makes it so strange. So
yeah.
Bizarre.
All right. Well, we're going to take one last break here, and we'll be back in a few minutes to wrap up.
It's one of the best Radio Shacks in the country, and it's right here in Palm Coast.
Thanks for calling Radio Shack.
And because you can't put a sign up in Palm Coast 100 times a day, everybody asks the same question. Where's the Radio Shack in Palm Coast?
We're right next to the Winn-Dixie, right off of Palm Coast Parkway.
Radio Shack in Palm Coast. They got all the gifts and gadgets you could want. Park right at their front door to get in and get out. And they're open every night till 6.
We are located at 1250 Palm Coast Parkway in the Winn-Dixie Bell Shopping Center, right next door to Winn-Dixie. We'd love to see you down here.
What do 10,000 households in Flagler and Volusia have in common? They've all plugged into the sun with SolarFit. From complete solar power plants to solar heated pools, your neighbors are enjoying lower electric bills or none at all. With today's federal tax credits and rebates, solar energy technology is more affordable than ever. Your home or business can make the switch to solar power. Call today for your free energy and cost-effective analysis. SolarFit, America's solar team. 445-7606.
The only waterfront marine service center in Flagler County for over 15 years is Rhodes Marine Service. Easy to find by land or sea on the Intracoastal Waterway, 2 miles north of the Palm Coast Toll Bridge. Flagler County's only factory-authorized service center for Mercury outboards and MerCruiser stern drives, Rhodes Marine is also a full-service center for most other popular motor brands. They offer a full parts department, bottom painting, used boat sales, new trailer sales, outboard and stern drive repowers, and so much more. For boating help on or off the water, call Rhodes Marine, 386-446-5588. All right, welcome back to WNZF's Free For All Friday. This is your host Patrick Kelly, and we're wrapping up here with Toby Tobin. One thing that seems to be prevalent in all these cases is for this to happen, you have to have an uninformed buyer. So, in your opinion, from what you've seen, What's the best thing that a buyer can do to protect themselves?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One is that a buyer or a seller should engage someone who's knowledgeable and professional. But yet, in a lot of these frauds, the crooks appeared to be knowledgeable and professional. So it's tough. But take a deep breath before you do something. Sit back and think about, does this really make sense? And, avoid situations where that are going to make you more emotional, because emotions will get in the way of a wise decision any day. And I've told people to avoid things like these, extravaganza sales events where people line up hoping to get picked to have be lucky enough to pay for an overpriced lot. And buying in that environment is like trying to pick a spouse at a Viagra party. It makes about that much sense.
Yeah. And I am one that believes that, buyer beware. You got to look out for yourself. Undeniable truth: there is no long-term, quick, easy money. It's got to be simple, long-term investing with a purpose.
Right.
Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you back here next week on WNZF.
We are News Radio 1550 AM and 106.3 FM, WNZF, Bunnell, Palm Coast, Flagler Beach, WBHQ, HD2, Beverly Beach.